Welcome to Hollywood Insiders Podcasts. Do subscribe and feel free to visit HollywoodInsider.com for more. Hollywood Insider is a media network focused on substance and meaningful entertainment while being against gossip and scandal so as to utilize media as a tool to unite and better our world by combining entertainment, education, and philanthropy.
A tribute to Joe Rogan, how the man who announced fighters in cages now defines the value of conversation. 3 years ago, I was in London, sitting at the reception of my hotel, waiting for the long line to check in and tediously scrolling through my Facebook feed. A friend of mine had shared Jordan Peterson's appearance on Joe Rogan's podcast with just an exclamation mark over the post, possibly inviting his followers to embrace the significance of what he had just posted. Another guy in the line caught a glimpse of what I was watching, nodded approvingly, and said, "Joe Rogan, eh? Real boss podcasting it." That's how I met Rory, the agent of the band I was actually there to book. Around 6 months later at the El Cortez Hotel and Casino in Vegas, I was sitting at the bar waiting for a burger with headphones over my ears, listening to a random recommended stuff on YouTube. At some point, I came across a Rogan podcast and my phone rang at about the same time. When I was done talking, I disconnected the headphones without turning off the media and the podcast resumed playback through my speakers. A guy with a cowboy hat sitting across the bar counter asked, "Is that Rogan talking? Did you watch the Tyson episode?" We talked and drank at the bar for most of that evening, talking about boxing, horses, and somehow India. A year after that, in 2019, I was in LA, sweating on a treadmill at a gym in Los Feliz, listening to Rogan and Travis Walton discussing alien abductions. The guy taking a break on the next treadmill looked at my phone and said, "Rogan, huh? I love that dude. My friend is like a regular there." Turns out, his friend was Greg Fitzsimmons, a well-known stand-up comedian and actor and a very frequent guest of the podcast.
Well, and the funny thing is, like, I don't get the sense this guy is on a chat room talking to other guys that stuff ground beef up their asses. This is his thing.
Right.
The Joe Rogan Experience podcast started in 2009 by Joe Rogan and Brian Redband at Joe's house and first sponsored by a sex toy company was, at first, just two people sitting in front of laptops and bullshitting. In January 2013, the podcast videos started appearing on YouTube and were regularly reaching hundreds of thousands of views, which became millions by the 1,000th episode in 2017. By then, it had already become the most downloaded podcast on the planet. Besides the numbers, however, JRE holds a very special place in American media. Not only is it often called one of the last bastions for civil discussion in the mainstream of contemporary America, but it is also one of the last spaces where masculinity is not automatically associated with toxicity, and where men and women are not hesitating to engage in a sincere conversation about what they think and how they feel about things in their life. And to navigate the conversation while evading landmines of omnipresent political correctness, without feeling further animus between polarized sides and while engaging them in discussion, is no small feat.
You take someone like me, who probably has none of that, and you know, you juice me up to his level. Is that cheating?
I mean,
it is, right?
I don't know.
The right place, the right time, the right people. In 2020, CNN described Rogan as libertarian-leaning, but at the same time, a recent essay in The Atlantic concluded that he might be America's next authoritarian leader to fill Trump's shoes. To some people, he is a pure centrist or an ANCAP. He openly supports free speech, LGBT rights, and universal healthcare, and at the same time, he's an advocate of the Second Amendment and gun rights that constantly criticizes cancel culture, has occasionally endorsed both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, and has been accused of the left by having transphobic, Islamophobic, and racist views. However, to an array of intellectuals, scientists, martial artists, musicians, politicians, and comedians, as well as millions of its fans, he's just a curious guy who is always up to discuss things that he might not even fully understand, and who's always ready to put himself in other people's shoes in order to better understand their point of view.
Also, their musculature, did they look like smooth, like they had no clear muscles?
Yeah, they were pretty smooth, right?
You can't paint a picture of stereotypical Joe Rogan listener because they come in all shapes and from everywhere around the globe. And if there's one shape that Rogan can effortlessly morph into, it's exactly that everyman form that provides the hypnotic and ego-free conversations where his guests feel secure enough to open up about the most delicate things in their life. Like Lance Armstrong talking about the doping scandal, Ari Shaffir discussing his mental health issues, Kevin Smith crying over his dog's death, and Nick Yaris remembering the horrible things he had to go through in prison in order to survive.
So it was horrible. Like I told you, the first 2 years of my sentence, every day I kept my mouth shut.
The level of sincerity that characterized some of these conversations makes it almost impossible to go there just to self-promote and try and look cool. The contrast will be spotted instantly and people will know it. But the man part in every man is definitely highlighted here. It's no secret that the podcast primarily caters to men. Men are the primary audience and majority of conversations are oozing with male perspective. However, besides being a genuine safe space for bro caving and quintessential discussions about whether a gorilla is stronger than a bear and how wild 90s Boston bar fights were, men here also talk about things they seldom talk about if they know that someone's listening. Not a common trait to perform in today's America, and that's proved increasingly irritating to the people who believe that when discussions are forcibly suppressed and hushed in the dining room rather than ceasing altogether, they simply move to the kitchen and basement. A major part of those talks revolves around masculinity, but it's far from being toxic. "It's okay to cry," says Rogan to one of his guests who apologized for getting too emotional. "I cry all the time," he said, and it really does happen on some episodes. Tyson Fury and Jon Jones, arguably the world's cockiest fighters, have discussed their severe self-confidence issues and states of acute depression with hundreds of thousands of people listening live. Dakota Meyer has talked about his severe PTSD and suicide attempt after he killed a man in the war in melee combat. Both men and women have not held back to cross the lower line of their insecurities, but the upper lines of sensitivity and political correctness are often trampled as well, and way more gladly at that. Any 15 minutes from an episode of Joe and Bill Burr puffing cigars and talking is more than enough to give a heart attack to some people on the far left, or the right for that matter, much like how Elon Musk puffing his first joint there must have given a mini heart attack to Tesla shareholders.
I mean, it's legal, right?
It's totally legal.
Okay.
How does that work? Do people get upset at you if you do certain things?
The amplitude and diversity of his guests and what they represent is what makes Rogan unique. There is no other host on the planet that can approach Edward Snowden, Mike Tyson, Steve-O, Bernie Sanders, Dan Blizzard, Alex Jones, and Sam Harris with the same engagement and curiosity, and as a consumer, that's kind of hard to resist.
Remarkably calm all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he just seems always, like, on this one plane.
Yeah.
He's got, like, this, like, 55 beats per minute that he just stays at all the time.
Yeah.
Live your life like you're the hero of your own movie. To an outside observer, it might seem that Rogan has simply made the right bets in his life and that that is what causes upward spiral, beginning as a moderately successful actor in the Fox sitcom Hardball, then becoming an MMA commentator right before its meteoric rise, accepting an offer to host the American edition of Fear Factor during the peak of its popularity, starting to do stand-up shows when the comedy community was just about to flourish, and making friends with the next generation of superstars. All along that path, however, the amount of hard work and consistent effort he poured into everything he did has become legendary. From his early teenage years when he first picked up martial arts and went down that path, the resilience and self-motivation that accompanies his life story has been so vivid that it has often proved to be contagious to the people around him. Like to Joni Diaz, who often talks about how Rogan motivated him to get out of the black hole of addiction and to get into comedy, and other men and women from all over the planet responded to that. Most of us respond to films where hard work pays off in the end, and in Joe's case, it's not a film but a TV series that has been going on forever. One of the most fascinating lessons I've absorbed about life is that struggle is good, he has repeated over and over again. I love a success story, but even more than a success story, I like a dude who F's up his life and gets his life together again story. And that stubbornness has paid off big time with the podcast. It took over 1,000 episodes of it getting slightly better with each episode to get it where it is now. He didn't listen to radio professionals who said episodes need to be shorter at around 15 to 20 minutes, or that you must release episodes on the same day at the same time, or that you have to monetize and promote your podcast in every way possible. He did not look for shortcuts, for those magical transitional moments to stardom, but went through the hard way with the passion, patience, and persistence of a real hard worker, and boy has it paid off.
So, as far as endurance, yes. Now, capabilities of the plane. Most fighter planes have a G capability of 9 Gs, and as you know, times a force of gravity.
The present value of the impact of the JRE podcast has become especially clear when he signed a multi-year licensing deal with Spotify worth an estimated $100 million, making it the largest licensing agreement in the history of the podcast business. And to this day, Rogan is always pumped, always trying to squeeze the best he can from the moment. And really the time when he seems the most relaxed and chill is during the podcasts. There, he mostly listens, but as Glenn Greenwald brilliantly put it, with every word he says, you can feel the sincerity of someone doing their best, and not always succeeding, to understand the world and all of its complexities. And in a world of scripted orthodoxies and partisan dogma, it's easy to see why it resonates for millions. Amid the growing deficit of humble dialogue in the United States and all over the world, where comedians are booed off stage by college kids for sharp humor, forced narratives, and are often shoved down people's throats, and engaging discussions are getting more and more scarce, Joe's eyes wide open, curious kid personality, combined with numerous stories of personal success under his belt, leaves little space to wonder why his podcast has been so cathartic to vast numbers of people, and the author can say that they're certainly one of them.
We hope you enjoyed listening to our podcast. The written version of this article can also be found on HollywoodInsider.com. subscribe to our podcast, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/HollywoodInsiderTV. Follow us on our social media. We will be back next time with more thought-provoking features.